How will you decide which candidates deserve your vote on November the 5th? Not just for president, but for all the other races down the ballot that are more important than you might think and impact your family more directly. TV ads and candidate rhetoric are meant to sway your emotions. iVoter Guide gives you the facts so you can think for yourself. iVoter Guide shows you what candidates have done and how they are likely to vote if elected. Election Day is Tuesday, November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Hope that you had a great weekend. We had beautiful weather in Texarkana. I was blessed to be able to play golf on Saturday morning with a good friend and just enjoying being outside. I had a friend of mine tell me once, Charles Lowry, he's been on this program before. He's a pastor and a psychologist, and now he travels around and speaks. But he said, Jeff, golf is a good game for a pastor. And I was thinking, well, I guess it really tests your patience. Golf is a very frustrating game. But he said, no, the reason golf is a good game, it gets you out with other people and it gets you outside. The job of a pastor is a lot of times cloistered in your office studying, lots of studying. If you're going to be a faithful pastor and do the thing that people most need. You know, sometimes we think that pastoral care is what people most need, and no doubt that is a big need. But the way a pastor makes the biggest impact on his church is by studying, preparing, and delivering a good hot meal every Sunday, every Wednesday, and giving people that which nourishes their soul. I remember when I first started preaching, I was preaching at a little church in Norlina, North Carolina. I was a student at Southeastern Seminary, and I was preaching at Brown's Baptist Church. And it had a cemetery around the church, a little church, and they would have, you know, 11 people, 15 people. One time we had 30-something people there, and I was nervous because we had such a big crowd. But just a small church, and I remember it was a great opportunity for me. It paid a little bit of money every Sunday when you preached, and it was just one service. But a dear saint came up to me after the service one Sunday, and she said, "Your preaching feeds my soul." And I've never forgotten that, because that's what a preacher is to do in addition to the other hats we wear and praying for people and caring for people. The biggest piece of the pie is giving people nourishment for their souls, to feed them. That's what Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, three different times. Hey, you need to lead and feed the flock of God and feed them on the truth. Now, I started a new series this past Sunday called This Is War. Overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. The three fronts we fight on, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we talked about the adversary. 1 Peter 5 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. This is war. We teach our kids that little song, I'm in the Lord's army. And that's so true. The moment you give your heart and life to Christ, you're in the Lord's army. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, when I was in college, I heard a message by Adrian Rogers on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where it says that... how does it word it? Let me look it up so I have it exactly right. I memorized it some time ago, but now it's not coming to me. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation also will provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. And he talked about the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he said this, I thought it was so good. He said, how are we to view these three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil? Well, he said the flesh, your old residual, the residual from your Adamic nature, well, that resides within. If the devil were to evaporate, you'd still have trouble with sin because you have an internal enemy, an internal foe. So the flesh is an internal foe. The world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, the world is an external foe. It's out there. And then the devil is an infernal foe. Infernal means relating to hell. He's your hellish foe. And they all work in tandem. The devil is the ringmaster, so to speak, and he uses the world and he uses your flesh to tempt you, to lead you astray, to get you to sin against God and stray off the path of righteousness, to quit walking in the light as the Lord himself is in the light. Now, how does he do that? How does he use the world and the flesh? Well, the Bible, according to the lips of Jesus, John 8:44, tells us exactly how the devil works. You are of your father, the devil, Jesus told those Jews who didn't believe in him, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar and the father of lies. Now, our world is just being overrun, just flooded with lies. And it's so difficult to know what the truth is these days. News agencies used to report the news. Now they just spin the news. They spin the news to match up with their narrative. They don't just tell you the truth. And so you have to sift through and find out, okay, what is the truth? Now, there was an issue, you know, we've been talking about, and the whole nation has been talking about, the southern border, people coming in from the southern border, and rapists and murderers and drug dealers just pouring in through the southern border. We were told it was 8 million, and then it said 11 million, and now we're hearing numbers of 20 plus million have been allowed to come into our country illegally. And, you know, we hear cries from the liberal religious crowd that try and say, well, you know, this is Christians ought to be on board with open borders because, hey, we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is part of loving your neighbor. And these people are just looking for a better life, and their families with their children just looking for an opportunity. Isn't America, you know, the land of opportunity? Doesn't the Statue of Liberty say, bring me your poor and tired and broken, and the things that it is said in the Statue of Liberty? You know, immigrants came to America. They came to America seeking freedom, and they were put into the melting pot, so to speak. And they didn't come in saying, well, I'm going to rebuild my culture and my nation here in America. We're going to take over America. No, there's a melting pot, so we all were to love this country and you know, adhere and commit ourselves to the Constitution and the things the country was built upon. Well, now it's not the case. And so you have people pouring in, you don't know who they are, and they can cause a lot of trouble. Now, clearly not everybody coming in is a bad actor, but when you have that many millions of people coming in, you're going to have bad actors. And bad actors know, hey, I can come to America. It's like virgin territory to commit my crimes and you know, do my dastardly deeds. Now, in Colorado, Aurora, Colorado, You had some Venezuelan gangs that were taking over apartment complexes. And President Trump in a rally talked about it and said, hey, they're destroying Colorado and Aurora, Colorado. And evidently the mayor didn't like that. Oh, no, no, no. He downplayed it. Well, J.D. Vance was being interviewed on ABC News, interviewed by Martha Raddatz. And they were talking about this very thing. Now, here I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want you to see how the left really downplays any kind of danger. And, you know, just like when we had the takeover of downtown Seattle, well, mostly peaceful protests. They're burning businesses. They're, you know, harming people, they're looting, they're doing all sorts of terrible things. That's not peaceful. That's not mostly peaceful. You know, you see the fires in the back and the commentator, well, this is a mostly peaceful protest. This is a summer of love. Well, baloney. You have so drunk the Kool-Aid and believed the lies that you can't tell up from down. Well, here was the interview with J.D. Vance. And let me just say, J.D. Vance is very fast on his feet, very sharp, and really comes across well. Listen to this clip.
I understand what you're saying, that some people left behind, but he's making these statements that the mayor is flat out disputing.
Well, Martha, you just said the mayor said they were exaggerated.
Grossly exaggerated.
That means there's got to be some element of truth here. And of course, President Trump was actually in Aurora, Colorado, talking to people on the ground. And what we're hearing, of course, Martha, is that people are terrified by what has happened with some of these Venezuelan gangs.
Senator Vance, I'm going to stop you because I know exactly what happened. Martha. I'm going to stop you. The incidents were limited to a handful of apartment complexes, and the mayor said our dedicated police officers have acted on those concerns. A handful of problems.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem and not Kamala Harris's open border. Americans are so fed up with what's going on, and they have every right to be. And I really find this exchange, Martha, sort of interesting because you seem to be more focused with nitpicking everything that Donald Trump has said rather than acknowledging that apartment complexes in the United States of America are being taken over by violent gangs. I worry so much more about that problem than anything else here. We've got to get American communities in a safe space again. And unfortunately, when you let people in by the millions, most of whom are unvetted, most of whom you don't know who they really are, you're going to have problems like this. Kamala Harris, 94 executive orders that undid Donald Trump's successful border policies. We knew this stuff would happen.
They
bragged about opening the border, and now we have the consequences, and we're living with it. We can do so much better, but frankly, we're not going to do better, Martha, unless Donald Trump calls this stuff out. I'm glad that he did.
Okay, let's just end that with they did not...
So that was J.D. Vance talking to Martha Raddatz on ABC News. Really got the better of her, I think, in that exchange. But that's the thing. We're trying to downplay. Well, it's just a few apartment complexes. Well, what if you live there? You say, well, I know they attacked me and they ransacked my place, but, you know, this is no big deal. It's just a few apartment complexes here in Aurora, and we called the police, and after, waiting several hours for them to show up, no disrespect to the police, but, you know, we've tried to defund the police, and so they're shorthanded, and they have to gear up if they're going to go up against a gang of armed Venezuelans. You've seen the video, no doubt, where them breaking into apartments and they have guns, and it's just insane. And to try and defend that, you're a news agency and you're trying to defend that. You're obviously, it's sickening. They're just so in the tank for the left. They get their talking points, it appears, from the left. This is what you say. This is what you defend. This is how you spin things. We need to hear the truth, and we need to be able to discern between good and evil as we look at the things coming at us, as we look what's happening in our country. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice, it takes practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You have to practice with the Word of God. Jesus said, sanctify them, praying his great high priestly prayer to the Father. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the lies of the enemy. You know, we're swimming in lies, and not a surprise. It says in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And so we are at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we're not at war with people. As I shared in this beginning of the sermon series, this is war. The war is not with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is that's our mission field. Those are the ones we're going after to tell them about Jesus and point the way to Jesus and lift up the name of Jesus and tell them there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. But the devil uses people, and he uses the world system. That's why the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and it lists three main things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Now, the devil uses the temptations of the world as he lies to us about them. I love what it says when Jesus talked about that very famous parable of the sower went out to sow, the sower and the seed. And we call it the parable of the sower and the seed, but it's really about the heart. It's about the soils, because there are four different types of soil. There is the rocky soil. That's when the word goes in that kind of a heart, and the devil, it can't penetrate because it's too hard, and the birds come and take the seed away. The devil takes the word of God away when it hits that hard heart, and that's why you don't make any impact on a hardened heart. But then there's the shallow soil. The word goes in there quickly, but there's no depth of soil. That's people that just emotionally respond. And then there's the thorny soil. And the thorny soil is the one that receives the word, but then it gets choked out. The cares of this world, the worries of this world, and it says the deceitfulness of riches. You know, the devil lies about riches. And people that don't have money, to speak of, and we all have some money, but we always think we need more. If I just had more. The deceitfulness of riches is simply this: riches will make you happy. Oh, if you just believe, if you just had more. Why are you unhappy? Because you don't have more. Because you don't have that second house, that second car, that boat, that lake house, whatever it is, you know, that suit, that tie, that this, that, all these things. If you don't have these things, you won't be happy. The deceitfulness of riches. I like what, I think it was Ted Turner that said this. You know, Ted Turner, billionaire Ted Turner, he said, you know, money is like a paper sack. He said, everybody's trying to get the paper sack. And you're working your whole life to try and get the paper sack. And when you get the paper sack, you open it up and you find out it's empty. It's empty. Solomon, who had so much, he said, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Money can't satisfy you. The wealth of this world can't satisfy you. Who the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? No one. Your heart was made for the Lord. And the missing piece for the human heart is not money and materialism and things and some wonderful spouse. It's the Lord. The Lord is what you need. As Augustine said, Lord, our souls are restless until our soul finds its rest in you. Well, the devil uses lies, the deceitfulness of riches. He uses all sorts of things. You know, this, if you follow the lust of the flesh, just give yourself over to hedonism, then you'll be happy. It's people like that that end up saying, I just want to die. I just hate myself. I love that little poem. I've shared it before, but it says this: I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as the days go by, to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. I've heard testimonies of people that have done terrible, horrible things sexually, and they just hate themselves. They want to die. They're just haunted by these scenes and these things that they've done, and they can't seem to get it out. And here's the wonderful thing. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. But the devil lies, and he says money will solve your problems. Illicit sexual relationships, that's going to make you happy, and that's what's going to win the day, so to speak. Jesus said of the devil, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Now, the most effective lies are the ones that sound so much like the truth. The outlandish lies, you know, you don't have to be very astute to know, well, that's way out in left field. I mean, that I can't buy that. But if the lie is close to the truth, that's where you can get in trouble. That's why it says solid food, Hebrews 5:14, is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And good is the Greek word kalos, K-A-L-O-S. Evil is the Greek word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. I think it's very interesting. I don't think it's coincidental. It's interesting how those two are very close together. They're just one letter off, kalos and kakos. And so you have to have your senses trained to know, I may not be able to put my finger on it, but I know something is not right with this. I just sense it in my spirit. It is not right. Now, one of the big things we hear about, and the younger generation so afraid of, we see these polls and surveys done, and it says young people, they are kept awake at night worrying about climate change. Oh no, the world is going to end because of carbon emissions, because of climate change. And the scientists agree in consensus. 97% of scientists agree this is a huge problem. We need to spend trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to try and reduce our carbon footprint, because if we don't, the end is near. Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez said a few years ago, 12 years, in 12 years, the world will end. And people believe her. I don't know why anyone would believe her for anything, but she said that, I think, 3 or 4 years ago. So we're down to you know, 8 more years left on planet Earth. Well, if you read the Bible and you believe the Bible, you know that God is in control of the climate. He's in control of the end of the story. The book of the Revelation lets us know that the Lord is going to bring tribulation on this earth. And we believe that God is going to rescue his church out before that tribulation comes. We know that everything is working. And God lets the devil, he gives him enough rope to hang himself, so to speak, but God lets the devil put things together, or seemingly put things together, to set it up for a one-world government, to set it up for a one-world leader known as the Antichrist. And during the reign of Antichrist, you're going to have the tribulation that comes upon planet Earth, 7 years of hell on Earth. And the climate change activists are really going to freak out because the Lord is the one who's going to do all these things. But climate change can be a hobby horse for me because I just think it's so ridiculous. And a number of years ago, it was about 10 years ago, John Coleman, who was the founder of the Weather Channel, I love this video clip. He was on Brian Stelter's program, Reliable Sources, on CNN. It's not even Brian Stelter has since lost his job, and Reliable Sources is not on the air anymore. It was truly should have been called Unreliable Sources, but that's another point. But anyway, John Coleman was on there talking about climate change, and I love this interview.
It's nice to be on CNN. Hello to all your viewers. I resent you calling me a denier. That is a word meant to put me down. I'm a skeptic about climate change, and I want to make it darn clear, Mr. Kenney's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming, that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney. And yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform. And I regret it's become political instead of scientific. But the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well,
though, is when
not,
you
because
see...
Because you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN. But I'm happy I got on the air and got a chance to talk
minutes.
To your viewers. Hello, everybody. No global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party of position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you
on
the facts.
That's the truth.
I'll simply say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air. There are 31,000 scientists who have signed a petition that says it is not valid, that my position is correct. And we'll keep battling, and we will prevail in time, but I don't know if we'll do it in my lifetime.
I do hope viewers are Googling the data you're sharing, because I do think it's skewed. I have to say that. I want to ask you about the weather.
No, it's not true, and I hope you will go to the websites that present the papers that show that none of this alarmism about ice and heat waves and drought, none of it is happening.
Is the Weather Channel part of the conspiracy?
Well, the Weather Channel has bought into it. As I say it, they've drunk the Kool-Aid. But so is all the media. That's no big surprise.
Let me
That was John Coleman, the founder of the Weather Channel. He made it very clear. He's not the co-founder. He was the founder of the Weather Channel. I like how he interacted with Brian Stelter there, and he said they've drunk the Kool-Aid. Now, that's a good little metaphor. You know, that's what happened in Jonestown with the cultist Jim Jones. He had the Kool-Aid out there for the people. Hey, the time has come. We need to leave this earth and drink the Kool-Aid. And he was a demonized, demon-possessed person, claiming to be Christ. He was sexually perverted. He was off the rails. He was drug addicted, and he's a picture of the devil. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and he does it through lies. And so John Coleman said, these people have drunk the Kool-Aid. Now, if you believe the Bible, for any Christian to be worried about climate change, you're not trusting God. You're not believing the Word of God. Man does not destroy the climate. God is over the climate. The percentage of our Earth's atmosphere that's carbon dioxide is minuscule. Reducing carbon emissions when it's already so minuscule doesn't make a hill of beans. God is over that. So trust the Lord. And don't let that give that a second's thought for worry in your mind and in your heart, because God is in control of that. But the devil pushes his lies. I heard in a clip about Kamala Harris's campaign, this is what she said, quote, "It is time to turn the page because America is ready to chart a new way forward." She is the sitting vice president. She has been vice president with Joe Biden for 3.5, going on 4 years. He has stated himself, he doesn't make any decisions, that she is not in the room. I don't understand how this could possibly be, vote for me and it'll be a turn of the page, a new way forward, new leadership, a fresh idea. Good night. You're in there right now. Right now. I don't know how anybody believes that lie. It to me, it's the emperor has no clothes, and he's trying to get you to believe that his suit of nothing, his invisible wardrobe, is so beautiful and so glorious as that Hans Christian Andersen story, The Emperor. I don't think that was the title, but that's the gist of it. And the kid points out the emperor doesn't wear anything. He's got no clothes. And that's basically what we have going on in our world today. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a short, brief testimony, I'd love to hear from you. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. So give me a call, and we'll come back with our calls right after the break.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening the phone lines to take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let me just say something before we go to the phones. You heard the little commercial for iVoter Guide, iVoterGuide.com. I had a dear lady in my church that was asking me. She said, I live in Arkansas. You know, Texarkana is real close to Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Louisiana, the four states area. And so we know about the national election on November 5th, And everybody knows, okay, it's Trump Vance versus Harris Walz. But what about other races? And what about the senatorial race that may be in your state? What about local things? You know, iVoterGuide.com does a good job of going deeper and giving you the insight into a particular situation. And sometimes when you're voting on, you know, some kind of referendum or something or other that, you know, it lists you vote yes or no on, you know, Amendment number 4 or whatever it is. You know, Florida has a big one of those. And they're worded in such a way that makes it confusing. I think they do that on purpose. It's pitiful. Just make it clear. You know, I want to be able to abort babies past the 15-week mark. Yes or no? Well, if you word it in a convoluted way, then some people can, you know, that would vote otherwise, they get confused. So iVoterGuide.com is a great website from American Family Association that helps you in those votes, that helps you so that you will go into the voting booth knowing what is on the ballot and how you should, by God's grace and by God's word, how you should vote and who you should vote for. You know, it used to be that we all basically agreed on honesty, integrity, and what's right, what's wrong. We would have differences in terms of how to go about this policy or that policy, but we didn't have these stark differences in terms of, well, this guy says evil is good and good is evil versus this guy that still has somewhat of a moral compass that says, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. And that's kind of where we stand today. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Mark on the line from Kentucky. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, my brother.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And I just tuned in, coming home from the gym, and heard you talking about the global warming, so in this, which it is just that, though we ought to take it seriously because to recognize how we've been continuously lied to and deceived and confused about things that essentially defy or go against our God-given senses that can tell us, no, that's just a drop in the bucket. Not to say we ought to go and you know, destroy, you know, be reckless and irresponsible with polluting all the waters of the land and everything. But my point I want to get to, sir, is that, you know, what is it going to take as we've been lulled into and we've lived in such a tremendous blessing of God Almighty, who with the founding fathers made a covenant for America, for a government where we recognize our freedom comes from Him and Him alone, and to protect that through the Bill of Rights and so forth and so on, right? But our world is on fire, and the church is still talking about and giving a Zacchaeus story on a given Sunday morning. You know, does anybody here even know about things like the World Economic Forum, Yuval Noah Harari, some of the things that are going on with the BRICS nations and all the stuff that's being done in and around the world? I tune into even this station, frankly, and I go, do you guys know what's really going on? Have you prepared yourselves for what might happen maybe even next month? If I don't, my mind can't even consider her in office, because if she's actually put into office, there will be no more elections, period.
Right.
I mean, it's just, and it's like, I just don't understand, sir, why we're not opening up. Look, you know, we say that we can't understand how on earth did abortion get legalized, for example. We allowed them. The church allowed, in their inability to effectively communicate to the body and make it sure, clear, abortion is murder, period. Right?
Right.
So you can't do that. That's not allowed, right? But somehow, in the course of our lifespan, that got approved as a legal procedure to murder a baby that's not been born yet. And I'm like going, well, the church, what happened? And I'm not pointing fingers, because I too was in the church at the time. I grew up in the church, and I'm thankful for that. But it was unclear until I had my own kids 20 years ago. I'm in my 60s now. I was born in 60 and had my kids, and I go, And I realized, I became more aware of, yeah, life begins at conception. Plain and simple, pure and simple. I didn't learn that in church, though. I should have, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't put out there.
Right. That's exactly right, Mark. And I got a text yesterday from a deacon in our church who's just moved away to Kentucky, as a matter of fact. And he said he was so frustrated because the pastor, he talked about some of the issues in the election, but he wouldn't come out and say abortion is murder. He just kind of tiptoed around it. And we need, I said yesterday in my sermon, you know, a pastor that won't call out these things is not worth his salt. You know, this idea that, well, we don't need to be political, keep politics out of the church. Well, politics has intersected morality. Abortion is one of the big, big issues. It's a political issue. The Democrats said this is the key issue in the election. It's the linchpin issue for them. No doubt that's why they, you know, Planned Parenthood had a mobile unit by their convention that they had in Chicago to crown Kamala Harris as their candidate. And it was connected to that. I had a guy fact check me and said they didn't have it outside the convention. It was 2 miles away. Well, it was connected to the Democrat National Convention, and they did murder 70 or 25 children during those days of free abortions. And it was something that is embedded in the Democrat Party. They didn't have one for the Republican National Convention because Republicans, by and large, repudiate abortion. Now, we need to have those who are abolitionists. Abortion is murder, so there's no way that you make friends with abortion and say, oh, well, we only abort up to 15 weeks, and then after that, it's wrong. And it's wrong from the time of conception. So I totally agree with you, Mark, and the church doesn't need to be silent on this. We need to be sounding the alarm. And we need to be calling our members to say, hey, this is important. And especially when it comes to voting, as George Barna in his latest research project said, hey, it looks like an estimated 32 million church-going Christians, not just people who check the box, I'm a Christian, and they're, you know, Christmas, Easter only. It's church-going Sunday-by-Sunday Christians who are planning not to vote in this election, the most important election of our lifetime. Every election is the most important election of our lifetime because we keep kicking the can down the road. And so this is critically important. I agree with you. If we vote wrongly in this election, we may not get to vote again because taking all these illegal immigrants and giving them citizenship and providing everything for them, we don't provide for our own citizens, but we provide for those who come in illegally, everything under the sun. It's just sickening. We're living in such an upside-down nation that we can't go on indefinitely like this, and God will judge because God is holy, 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 and the earth belongs to the Lord, and he's going to reclaim it. You talk about the end of the book, Revelation chapter 19. The Lord does come back, and he comes back for war, and he wages war with the Antichrist and all those who line up with him. So I appreciate the call, Mark. God bless you, my brother. We have Crispin on the line from Texas. Crispin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Love your show. I listen to it every morning. Love AFR. I'm a big, longtime listener.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question. What do we do about the Christians that are voting for Kamala and her policies? I have patience with the non-Christian. I have patients with atheists and liberals that don't know the truth. What about the people that we know, they've been going to church, we know them, they may be a member of your church, of your own church, or a Sunday school teacher, but yet they're still in the dark? How do we speak to them lovingly without losing our patience? That's the hardest. It's so hard to do. So
it really is because, you know, you're voting for your own extinction. I mean, you're voting for a candidate that's going to greatly curtail free speech, that's going to hurt the church. You know, it's like one person said, you know, Trump, I don't believe Trump is a Christian. Some have tried to paint him as a Christian. You have to humble your heart to be to receive Christ. He's never done that. J.D. Vance, I don't think, is a born-again Christian. I don't think he understands what that means. Obviously, on the other side of the aisle, those people are anti-Christian. They're not the Antichrist, but they are against the things of God. You can't be gung-ho murdering infants and mutilating young children in the transgender insanity and say that you are close to God. You are so far away from God in your policies that that you're working against him. And so you're exactly right. It's frustrating if you let it get in. I mean, you can really get frustrated at that person. You have to just always step back and say, okay, my struggle is not against flesh and blood. This person is not my enemy, but they're being deceived by the enemy. And, you know, it's not like we have rose-colored glasses when it comes to the Republican Party or Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, like they can do no wrong. Listen, they're sinners and they have bad policies, and abortion is one of them. But the thing about those guys, and as we look at the choice before us, you have one that is anti the things of God. I mean, they're going against the things of God, and the other that is much more in line with the things of God, not perfectly by any stretch of the imagination, but the choice could not be more clear. And it's mind-blowing and maddening that Christians would actually vote for that.
Right. I agree.
So I think our challenge...
How do we speak to them in love? How do we speak to them in love? I don't know. What do we do?
Well,
I mean...
Yeah,
I
preached on that last week, and I talked about what is a Christian to do, election 2024, what is a Christian to do? And I just brought up the issues that we must vote, we must vote prayerfully, and we must vote biblically. And I brought up the biblical points of life. You vote for the candidate that is more in line with life. God is pro-life. He's not pro-abortion. You line up with candidates that are for law and order, truth and justice. This defund the police, open up the floodgates, and let everybody into the country and the southern border. That is opposite of what God tells us in his word. It's opposite of what government is supposed to do. You don't vote for a government that's going to curtail freedoms in terms of freedom of speech. They've said that. Harrison Walls, hey, we need to put clamps on free speech. And, you know, they lump everything under hate speech. So if I preach and say homosexuality is wrong, it's a sin against God. Transgenderism is a disease of the mind. It is wrong. It will destroy lives. They would want to curtail that. How dare you? You can't say that. And so I think you just bring up those points and say, now, how could you possibly vote for this? I mean, the two candidates couldn't be more different. The two platforms couldn't be more different. And so try and appeal to them that way. But here's the thing, and you know, the term a yellow dog Democrat, there hasn't been a term a yellow dog Republican, but it's a yellow dog Democrat, which means no matter if you ran a yellow dog under the banner, under the you know, the heading of Democrat, many people would say, okay, I'll vote for the yellow dog because I just vote Democrat. And I encouraged our folks saying, listen, you need to pray and ask God what you need to do and not just be locked in to a certain party because you've always been that party. So I appreciate that, Crispin. Thanks so much for your call. We have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. I've just been concerned and not praying enough, but... some pastors don't want to ruffle any feathers. They don't want to even address the issue of voting, and they can do it without being partisan. Like you say, vote your conscience, abortion, just, but even encouraging them, it seems like they don't want to give. They're not going to do it.
Yeah. It's very disheartening to see that. And you know, now's the time to step up. And here's where we find where the courageous people are and where the non-combatants are. And you know, we don't have the luxury of just sitting this out. God has called us to be strong and courageous like Joshua. He had to be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we have an opportunity to stand up and speak up on these issues. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.